Dark Reef Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. Autumn Semester 2009, this is Business Finance FIL 240, Section 6. Lecture 10, delivered on September 17, 2009. The title of this lecture is Applied Ratio Analysis.
Today, Applied Ratio Analysis. This is a live fire exercise. I have given you the financial statements of Amazon .com Inc. for the years ending December 31 of 2006, 2007, and 2008, and we are going to do the ratios, and I want you to do them collaboratively with several other people working through the ratios. We're going to pick them apart. We're going to get the ratios that we can, and then we're going to look at what the results tell us from the ratios. First, we calculate them. Now, in real life, you would have an Excel sheet to do this, but it always helps to do it manually at least once in your life so that you get a feel for the engine that is running behind the curtain of an Excel spreadsheet or whatever else you would use. And as I said, this is a live fire exercise. You work your way through the ratios, and I'll lay them out as you can do them, and make sure that you can write them down somewhere. And we'll begin with the liquidity ratios: current, acid, and burn. For 08, 07, and 06, current, acid, and burn on liquidity, so that we can see what's going on with respect to this company as far as its liquidity goes. Remembering what these are, know the formulas. Use your notes as you want and work together so that you can get the answers in relatively short fashion. And the reason we want a quick movement of the ratios is when financial statements are released by a company, bet your bottom dollar that there are a million brainiacs out there, computers, cranking these ratios as fast as possible and then analyzing to see what the ratios are saying. So as we do this, there is an urgency in the real world because the marginal investor is going to be doing this fast and getting results. Okay, for the currents, we're going to do the liquidities and then talk about those briefly once you've gotten the liquidities. And as you get them, just apprise me of what you have gotten, and I will see if that matches what I have and hope that it does, because I did these manually because I didn't want to use Excel. I want to actually do them manually the way you're doing them. As a matter of fact, what do we have here? Okay. What do you see for the currents? Let me write this down. Current. Would be. Current is current assets over current liabilities. Acid is current assets minus inventory over current liabilities. And then the burn would be cash and equivalents over the current liabilities on the company. Just let me know what you get. I'm going to walk around here and have a look. And again, work together because that'll get you a little more efficiency in doing this. And it's quite okay to talk as you're working. Did you need a financial? Sorry. You got to see back there. 08. 1.29 for the current on 08. Got any other years for me? 1.39 for 07. Good. And for 06, how are you doing? 1.33. Good. Got it. Okay. If you get another one, just yell it out, please. This is how we do it in here. This is how we would do it as financial analysts. We just lay out our results as we get them, and if you got it wrong, someone correct it. Because God knows I'm the worst arithmetic person in the world. I can make mistakes. Anyone got a burn or an acid? 06 is 0.99. I got 0.98. Maybe I didn't round it. Okay, 0.99. Okay. So the acid for 06 is 0.99. What do you got? Anything else so far? And again, the acids are the current assets, and then you subtract off the inventory before you divide by the liabilities, the current liabilities on it. Anyone got another acid for me? What?
For 08,
1.00. Yep, I got 1.00 for 08. Now, these, I usually do them to two decimal places. That's just my thing on these. Because these are factors, of course. Well, not of course, but these are factors, and we'll talk about it in a minute here. And how are we doing on 07? Anyone got acid for 07? 1.07 acid. Is that what everyone else got? 1.07. Boy, I really blew that one. Okay. Good thing I didn't put my number up there. Okay, what else we got? Anything on burn? What do you got on burn, anyone? 0.58 for 08. Yep, I got it. 0.58. Okay. 0.68 for 07. 0.68 for 06? 07. 07. I was going to say 0. Point. And what's our burn? 0.40. Yep, excellent. Now we step back and breathe for a minute. Just make sure you got those numbers down. And do those again. Just make sure you'll have this for the weekend to work on. Just to make sure that you can confirm that you can do these comfortably. Now we talk for a minute. What do you see is happening to the current current ratio? First of all, is there a trend? The answer is no. There's not a trend. 06, 1.33. 07, 1.39. 08, 1.29. Is there something noticeable in the current, just on its own, on the current? Is there anything noticeable? Don't be afraid to talk here. I want to hear you, even if you make a mistake. All I'll say is, boy, that was stupid. No, I won't say that. You see anything noticeable? Go ahead.
They can cover their liabilities.
Clearly. Clearly they can cover their liabilities in 08, 1.29 times over with their current assets. I'm a little bothered here. Notice this steep drop. They went up, and then they had a pretty good drop from 07 to 08, 1.39 down to 1.29. Not really too much concern, but I do notice it, that they did lose some of their liquidity. And if we look, we see that that is indeed confirmed with the acid test. So this wasn't an inventory depletion so much. And we see that the burn did the same thing. So this seems to have been a leaning out of cash itself that happened in this period. It seems that they are leaning out on the hard cash and equivalents in this company. Now, is that planned? I don't know. We notice that all of these ratios jump from 06 to 07, and then all of a sudden they just drop down from 07 to 08.
were they trying to correct something from 07 in what they did in 08? If we look at it, the 08s are more comparable to the 06s than they are to the 07s, at least to some extent. So it might be the case that they are simply realigning from something that was a little bit out of kilter in 07, and they're returning to something that was more what they wanted in from 06, and they returned to that in 08. So you have to look at this in a context. You're trying to look broadly across a group of things and look for patterns and trends within and across the ratios as you see them. That's what this is all about, is financial analysis. And we're doing financial analysis on the fly real quick and light here. But this is what we do sometimes. We just throw down the ratios and get a quick first impression, because you don't have a whole lot of time before other investors are going to do your work for you and buy the stock or sell the stock. So we have to get our impressions and our thinking out quickly. It has to be good thinking. But I see, okay, liquidity dropped, no question about that, from 07 to 08. A little bit of a concern, but oh, this is more like the liquidity that they were doing in 06, so this might not be as much of a concern as I might have first thought when I saw the noticeable drops from 07 to 08. Okay, that's how I would think about this. Now let's go on and do the profitabilities. The profitabilities are always fun to do. Gross, op, and net. Gross margin, operating margin, and net margin. Gross margin. Operating margin and net margin are the first up, and then we'll do ROA and ROE. Now, while you're doing that, I'm going to have to log in on this computer because I want to get the price of the stock for the day here. Okay. Gross is gross profit over sales. Operating is EBIT over sales. And net is net income over sales. As I said, I'm going to just check something here because we've got a ratio coming up here in just a few minutes. Stop it. It was confusing. Okay, let me get these off the board here. We'll also do, as I said, ROA and ROE too. Gross operating and net margins, and then we'll have ROA and ROE down here too on these. It's a lot better to do these together. Okay, got any numbers up yet? Well, this is confusing. Stop it. All I want to do is look at the price of Amazon as of last night. We'll look at the price as of last night to see what we got here. Oh. For heaven's sakes. Okay, what do you got? Anything up so far on margins? Just yell it out if you get anything, please. You got one?
What number do we use for sales?
Revenue. Let me see. Sorry, I don't mean to be trivial. Total revenue. Yeah.
For 08, it's 0.22.
Okay, give it to me as a percentage to two decimal places.
22%.
22 point what?
Oh, 0.6%.
Really? I got 22.28. 22.28? Okay. Okay. Don't do that. I already suck at arithmetic.
No, I was looking at the wrong.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. You're good. What else? Anyone else got anything?
07 is
22.6. 22.60. Yep. 22.60 is gross margin in 07. What else? 22.93, that's what I got. Oops. Okay. Working our way down, operatings. I do not mean to flog you, but when you get to an exam, I'll have you do some of these ratios. I'll just have you do some. And the faster you can just click them out. And I don't want you to make a mistake, obviously. So I'll give you time to make sure you get things right. But you do want to be able to crank these formulas relatively quickly. And then go back and double check yourself to make sure you don't do what I do and make mistakes all the time. What do you got? Anything? 4.39 for operating. Whoa. It's not what I got. 5.07. That's okay, though. That's okay. That's what we're doing this for, is so that we can shake out the bugs, so that when we get to the big stuff, we can do it. Go ahead. What?
For 06, 3.63.
That's 06. I didn't get that. How about 4.25? 4.25? I was going to say that is one hell of a... Wow! Bye! Okay. 4.97. Good. Don't be frustrated, by the way, if you're not keeping up. This is the point, is just to get you into more of a pattern as a group to be able to move through these. And there will be differences in speeds starting out. No doubt about that. What do we got? Net, go on. For which year? 08's net is 3.37%. Go ahead. What was it? For 07, 3.21 was the net operating margin. And then for 06? Yeah, 1.77. Okay, now, ROA. What the hell did I do with... I have a... another sheet here. Why am I confused? ROA. ROA, net income over total assets. And then ROE is net income over total equity. So we're going to go to the ROAs and the ROEs now, get those profitability ratios out of the way. And what do we got here? 08 is 7.76. Very good. 7.76%. Just yell it out when you get one. How are we doing here? 7.34, that's for ROA for 07, right? 7.34, good. 7.34% is the return on assets for 07. What do we got? 4.35 is the return on assets for 06. Keep it going. Return on equity for 08 is 24.14%. Good. 39.77% is the ROE for 07. 44.08 is the ROE for 06. Now we can stop again and look at profitability, do a little profitability analysis. First of all, what can you tell me about the net margin? Go ahead, please, talk to me. Do your analysis. I don't have to disgrace anyone to ask. Clearly, they have firmed up the profitability margin. Definitely. Handsomely, since 06, they have doubled their net margin. And that was, interestingly, on gross that was actually slipping a little bit. So this was clearly, from at least my perspective, and I'm looking at the operating, it is obvious that they are controlling costs between the gross and the operating lines of this company. They're able to generate sales, or I'm sorry, they're able to generate sales on fewer operating expenses. You see that happening here? They're able to generate sales on fewer operating expenses because the operating margin is firming up. But their cost of goods sold is actually getting worse as far as sales go. So they are saving money not on the actual cost of their books and all the other stuff that they sell. That's actually eroding their cost, their gross margin a little bit, but they are more than making up for it by leaning out the operations that support their sales and all of that. And so I see that by the bottom line, we've got a really nice upward trend in net margin. And then we see that translated into return on assets. We see that clearly going on. You see how the assets are working more for them now? The assets are actually generating more, not dramatically, especially from 07 to 08, but this is a company that is obviously making its assets work well, and it's making them work better. On the other hand, look at return on equity. It is eroding dramatically. But there's a reason for that. We can see a little later a possible reason for that. But right now, their shareholders are not getting as much bang for the buck as they were. And that would be a reason why you might see the stockholders or investment community punishing this company. Look at what you did. We were getting a return on on equity of 44.08% 2 years ago, and that has gone clear down. It was clearly dropping in 07, and then it dropped like a rock in 08. Really? That's the kind of thing that can piss off an investment community. However, there might be some reason why the investment community would say, I see what you're doing. I understand. Maybe. But we'll have to talk about that in a minute. Now, we have only a few remaining here before we can finish this up. What we'll do is I'm going to do some activity dances here. Well, I'm going to do just a couple of activity. Notice something interesting. We cannot do an average collection period for this company. And the reason we can't is because we don't see the credit sales in this. Obviously, there's credit sales, but we don't see them in these financials. So where would they be? Probably in the notes to the financial. You would hope they'd be somewhere. Their credit sales would. But we can't see it here. So we can't do the that ratio. It's not a disaster when you can't do that one. It's something I'd like to see, but we can't do it. But we can do the inventory turnover and the total asset turnover. So we'll do the activities, a couple of activities next. Inventory turnover would be our sales over our inventory. And then we'll also, as far as activity goes, I can do debt to total assets here too. Now, I would also do debt to equity, but that's just telling me the same thing as debt to assets, and I kind of like debt to assets better than debt to equity because it's more like a percentage kind of thing, which would be our total debt over our total assets. Now, what I want you to do for total debt is I want you to take their long-term debt and what you see in the financials, and I do recognize that I'm a little bit divergent from others in this. I want you to take your long-term debt, but also if there is some short-term debt, put that in there too. It happens only in 08 for the debt to total assets, but in 08 they had some short-term debt. I want you to put that in there in the total debt calculation as well. So we're going to do the inventory turnover and the debt to total assets. This is activity ratios. Should have been keeping that apprised up there. So inventory turnover and debt to total assets. That's actually a debt ratio. I'm sort of putting these all together here. Wait a minute, why am I doing that? Debt to total assets? I want to do asset turnover. I'm sorry. Cripe. Asset turnover. God. Asset turnover. Jeez, I'm getting too far ahead of myself. I want to get down to the analysis here. Asset turnover would be sales over total assets. God. Sales over total assets. Jeez. Debt ratios or something else. Sales over total assets. I wonder some of you were looking a little confused there. That was a debt ratio. So again, we're doing inventory turnover and asset turnover. We can't do the activity on accounts receivable because we don't have credit sales broken out. Okay. So, how are you doing? What do you got on inventory turnover? Anything?
13.69.
And 13.69. Yeah, 13. I got 13.70. Did you round 13.70? Okay, that's not material. I mean, obviously, on an exam, if you wrote 13.69, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. You can miss by a couple of numbers. It's nothing major. Okay, so what else have we got? Anything? 12.36 for 07 on the asset turnover. I'm sorry, inventory turnover. 12.21, okay. 12.21 on the inventory turnover for 06. And now we go to the asset turnover. .231 is the asset turnover ratio for 08. And then? 2.29. 2.45, yeah. Okay, now we can stop and look at activity for a minute. They are indeed making their inventory work harder for them. You see how they're spinning their inventory faster as time goes on? It's definitely trending upward. They're moving the inventory in and out more quickly than they were. Asset turnover took a drop in 07, and it returned. That is consistent with what we saw earlier in another ratio. Their assets seem to be working for them, but it seems like they lost some of their asset speed. That might be the result of simply a larger asset base. They may have built up infrastructure, and that would explain why they're turning over, their assets are turning over in terms of sales more slowly. It's just because they've put in more assets, and those assets haven't picked up all the speed that they might in later years. It's something that we want to look at as time goes on. Does this asset turnover ratio improve or at least stabilize, or are we seeing something that might be more troubling, a downward trend in their ability to make their long-term assets, or their total assets, I should say, work for them in terms of generating sales? Okay. Now we go to the debt ratios. Now, I made an ass of myself giving one of those earlier. The debt ratios, we're going to do debt to total assets, and then we are going to do times interest earned. Debt to total assets, and then times interest earned. And when I do, and this is where I can now say that when you do the total debt, you do the long-term debt, and if you see any short-term debt, which you do see in 08 for this company, add that in. And total debt to total assets is just as it says, total debt divided by total assets. That should be a percentage, we would hope. And then also we will do times interest earned, which is EBIT over interest expense. Debt to assets and times interest earned. Seven 7.12% is the debt to total assets in 08. And that's going to be a percentage. That's a percentage. Their debt as a percentage of total assets, their total debt as a percentage of total assets is 7.12. What else have we got? 2.48%. You sure about that? 19.77. Let's try that one. Okay, for 07, 19.77%, and then in 06, that's okay. If you make a mistake, that's why we're doing this. 29.04%. Okay, those for the debt to total assets in 06. Now, times interest earned. What we got? 15. Times interest earned for 2008, 13.9 times over they can pay their interest with the money they've got right before they pay their interest. And then what do we got for 07?
9.57.
Yep. And then 06? Okay. No doubt about it. These two numbers together explain why ROE was going down. You see it? This company is tilting away from debt, seriously moving away from debt. In fact, they're moving away from debt so seriously that they actually were borrowing in the short term, using short borrow for 08, because they're leaning out on that long money from other people. That explains what was going on with ROE. They're moving toward an equity-based company. They're moving away from a debt-based company. And as you can see, their times interest earned is going up and up and up. Is that advisable? Well, this clearly, they are intending to do this. They don't want to have debt. They don't want to realize gains to leverage. This is not an accident. The way you see this moving, this is intended. This is intentional on this company's part. Inventory turnover. And that is the story of these of the ratios. Now we're going to do just a couple of last ones. First of all, dividends. What do you see on this company? What do you see about dividends? We might want to calculate a dividend yield. What's the dividend this company is paying? Nothing. This company doesn't pay a dividend. So the dividend yield, which would be the dividend divided by the price, ain't there. Okay, now I have to give you a number. Well, let me ask you this. How many shares of stock are outstanding? Because we want to calculate earnings per share. Do we have? Did they give the EPS here? Nope, they didn't give EPS. Okay, so we want to get the earnings per share, but that would be total earnings available to shareholders divided to the common shareholders, divided by the number of shares outstanding. Okay. Well, we can get the total earnings. It's there. How about the number of shares outstanding? Do we see it? Ain't there, is it? It isn't there. Well, that's sucks.com. What I can tell you from the quick financial data that I've got here is that they currently have 431.81 million shares outstanding. That's currently outstanding. What did I just say? I can't. 431. I can't remember walking across to the board. Okay. 431.81 million shares now outstanding. So that means that at least we could calculate the earnings per share for the last year, hoping that they haven't issued any more stocks since the end of last year. What do we get if we do that? If you do the earnings in 08, which were 8.6, net income available to the common shares was 646 million. $646 million. So to get the EPS here, we would do 646 million divided by 431.81 million. Because that was their earnings available to common at the end of 08. What do you get for a number for that? 1.5. Give me two decimals. 1.49. That would be $1.49 per share. A little off from what I'm seeing in the reporting right here, but that would have just meant that they probably had some shares that have come out since then. But there's an approximation of their earnings per share that are available to shareholders. So this company has earned about $1.49 per share that's available to the shareholders. Now, obviously, the shareholders didn't get one damn dime of that because they didn't give a dividend. So this would mean that the plowback ratio is 100%. Amazon believes that every penny that it earned for the shareholders, it can put that back in the company and make more for the shareholders than the shareholders could on their own. That's what that tells me, is Amazon is quite confident that it can take every penny of that company's money that belongs to shareholders and earn a better return for the shareholders than they could themselves in an equivalent risk investment. Okay, now the last thing we would do here is price to earnings ratio, PDE, which would be the market price of the stock divided by the EPS. Okay, so now we would need to know the market price of the stock. And this morning, the stock has been dropping. It's not a severe drop, but it's a little bit of a drop. Right now, the price of the stock right now, as we are talking, is $89.92. Using the number that you have calculated here for EPS, earnings per share, what would you say is the price of, the price to earnings ratio on this company? What's PDE on this company? If the stock price is about $89.92, oops, it's $89.97. Yeah, we're making money today. Oh, anyway, actually, I started out at $90.40 this morning. But, you know, these calculations are going to move around somewhat as every day. But what do you get? What's your approximate PDE here? God, nosebleed. I mean, in my day, that made your back leg thumb. Now it's like, yeah, so? Ouch. What did you say it was? 60.35. God. That means that investors said, okay, for every dollar this company made by the end of last year for us, we will pay $60 for it to have a claim on that $1. Well, obviously, they believe that that company's plowback is going to make a whole lot of money for them. Amazon is taking every penny that is available to the shareholders, putting it back into the company. And the investment community is saying, okay, we believe that that will generate as a present value of future expected residual cash flow that's ours, $60.35. That's what it's saying. Is that reasonable? Markets are not irrational. Don't ever, ever let anyone tell you markets are irrational. Even when it's the former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan who went before Congress and said, it's irrational exuberance what's going on in those stock markets. He was off his rocker. He was smoking crack. No, actually he doesn't. He's an old geezer. He was smoking Geritol or Metamucil. He had too much of Metamucil going through him. No, markets are not irrational. This is their best assessment. These are people who are putting millions and millions of dollars on the line. They're not going to do something that is stupid. So they are saying that if you put in every dollar that Amazon.com earns, is going to create for the shareholders as a present value $60.35. Okay? That's what they're saying. And that's scary to me, but that's what the investment community is saying right now. Yeah.
Where on the balance sheet are the total earnings?
Don't look on the balance sheet. Look down there at the bottom of the income statement.
Oh.
Flip over to the buy.
Oh, because mine says 645.
What did I do? Did I do something wrong? 646. Yeah, everything's in thousands on the sheet. I'm sorry about that. I cut it off because I was trying to get each statement. I'm sorry. Yeah, because we were doing everything in thousands, so they were canceling until I was, well, what the hell are you doing? I mean, I was getting a huge number there, or a very small number you would have got. No, those are in, I'm sorry. Those are in zero, zero, zeros, yes. But yeah, there's your dinner right there, okay? Now I'm going to show you one last thing here. This is called DuPont. The DuPont method. Now, it actually looks stupid at first, but it's so useful sometimes. Sometimes you can waste an awful lot of time. The net income over the total assets. Now, what's net income over total assets? What did we call that one? Do you remember?
ROA.
So ROA, now just watch what I'm going to do here. I'm going to say that is net income over sales times sales over total assets. Now tell me, what is net income over sales? What do you call that? What's net income over sales? What's the term? Yeah, net margin. So ROA is actually net margin times, what do you call sales over total assets? ROA, right? No. Sales over total assets. Do you have a name for sales over total assets? Asset turnover. So what I'm saying here with this DuPont ratio, this DuPont breakdown, and it's called the DuPont analysis. With this DuPont breakdown, I'm saying that actually return on assets comprises two pieces. It comprises the net margin, and it also comprises together with the asset turnover ratio. So tell me something. What was ROA in 2008? What did you find ROA was in 2008?
7.76?
7.76%. What was net income over sales? What was your net margin for 08?
3.37?
What's sales over? What was the asset turnover?
3.05?
3.1%. Okay, now let me make absolutely sure that this is going to work. You're right. That's a ratio. Asset turnover, sales. What? That's times. Okay. That's an X. 3.37 times. 2.31.
Yeah,
there'll be a little rounding error in there. But what this says is that my return on asset, my net margin, and my asset turnover contributed relatively equally. Now tell me what happened in 2007. What do you see in 2007? What was the return on assets?
7.34%.
Now, what was net margin in 07?
3.21.
And what was asset turnover? 2.29. Okay.
Now, just humor me. Do 06.
Tell me about 06. What do you get? What was return on assets?
4.35% equals what was net margin?
1.76.
77. Okay. Now, what was asset turnover?
1.5. Ah! Look what you can do. Look. Do you see it? We see that the reason the ROA was improving was not because of asset turnover. Asset turnover actually eroded. ROA, our return on assets, was improving because our net margins were strengthening. So this gives you a way to see a little bit of the why of what a ratio did. And this is important here because we see that we had this real strong improvement in our return on assets from 06 to 07 to 08. Well, what was the reason for that? It was because of the net margin, the savings the company was making on its income statement. That was what was doing this. In fact, if anything, the asset turnover, the assets aren't working as hard as they were in 06. But the company is saving money, and that is why its return on assets has been getting better over time. Oh, God. Okay? That's what that's about. And there are a couple of other DuPont breakdowns you can do too. But the cool thing about these is that it gives you a way to, and notice how the way you do a DuPont is you just find a ratio that you can do that is a product of two ratios and you can cancel top and bottom. And you can do this in all kinds of ways, actually. And you can find out sort of some secrets behind the curtain. Return on assets here has been improving. And it's because the net margin's been improving, not because they're making their assets work any better for them. If anything, their assets aren't working as hard for them. But that is the case that return on assets is improving. Now, the other thing that we can somewhat see here, and I don't know how far I want to push this with you right now. Well, yeah, this is okay. Notice that the return on equity really has kind of sucked. It was going down pretty dramatically. Do you see that? Remember, what the hell was it? The return on equity, ROE, dropped from 44.08% in 06 to 39.77% in 07, down to 24.14%. Now, here's the thing. It is clearly the case that this company is moving away from a debt base. It is building equity. And that would probably mean that each shareholder is suffering as a result of this company moving towards more shareholders because the pie, even if the pie is growing, if you've got a shareholder base that's growing faster, your return for each, your return on equity is going to suffer. But there's another darker side to this, the gains to leverage. They're giving up gains to leverage. Gains to leverage, in other words, borrowing using OPM, is what boosts the power of equity. And as this company is moving away from debt, the shareholders are actually suffering. The company is becoming less risky because, notice, I mean, look how many times this company could pay its interest on EBIT. Obviously, the company's not going to go bankrupt. The shareholders have a less risky company. But there you go. Less risk means a lower return on this company. This company is getting less risky. It doesn't borrow money. It's got tons of money at the bottom line. But at the same time, it is losing the gains to leverage. And that's the last thing I'm going to show you here is the briefly what I mean by gains to leverage. And I meant to do this a little earlier, and it just slipped my mind, because you're going to hear me go back through this over and over again. Excuse me. Let's say you've gotten your degree here, son. You're living the dream. You've gotten your job as the assistant manager at McDonald's. Indeed, life is good. And so you go out to the trailer park and you say, I want to buy a trailer. As a matter of fact, I want to be an investor in trailer parks. So I'm going to buy me a trailer, fix her up, and sell her. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do. Well, okay, that's a noble thing to do. So the trailer guy here, he buys a trailer for $20,000, all on his own money. His equity investment will be $20,000. His debt will be zero. So the interest that he pays, now he could have borrowed money at 6%. But he chose not to, so he's not going to pay any interest. And then he sells this trailer. For $22,000. Okay. Now, talk about the payback to the bank. But he didn't go to the bank. So, his to keep. And finally, now we can talk about return on equity. Return on equity, ROE. Okay, so in this case, he borrowed no money, his sales price. So how much does he have to pay back to the bank? Nothing. This is an honorable man, neither a borrower nor a lender be. So how much is his to keep? Well, $2,000 is above his equity investment. I should have pointed that out. His to keep is an extra $2,000. You done good. You can now get married. Yes, you can. And you can buy a better looking outfit for when you're not working at McDonald's. Yes, you've got $2,000. So let's talk turkey here. What was his return on equity? How much did he earn? $2,000. How much did he invest of his own money? $20,000. So his return on equity is 10%. Darn good. Give that man a cookie. That was an excellent, good job there. Good. That 10% is decent. Okay, now, let's say that he is not that kind of person. No, I don't want to borrow. He'll borrow as much as he can. So in the second round, we're going to buy the $20,000 trailer, but he's going to use only $2,000 of his money, which means how much debt does he have to take on? Oh, I just wrote it there. $2,000 of his own money, and he'll have to borrow $18,000, right? Okay? Oh, you're going to love this. This is amazing. Okay, the interest. Now, now it's going to come down to the end. So how much interest is he going to have to pay if this is 1 year? Let's say this project takes 1 year. How much interest will he pay in dollars? How much is that? How'd you do that so fast? Whatever. Okay. So we'll pay $1,080 in interest. Okay, now the sale price is still $22,000. There's nothing different in this about that. It's a $22,000 sale price. Okay, now, what does he have to pay back to the bank? $19,080. He has to pay back his $18,000. Plus the $1,080, so $19,080. Okay, now, how much is his to keep? He sold it for $22,000, so how much is his to keep? How much is that? What is it? $2,920 is his to keep. So it's $22,000 less the $19,080. So that is $2,020, right?
Yes.
Huh? Because
his original starting was like
$2,000. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're right about that. And I will take that off next. $920, I'm sorry. I am so sick of doing arithmetic so sucky in my head. 0, 2, 9. Really? No. Why do I suck so much at arithmetic? Do I blow crack before I come in? Oh, sorry. I'm thinking to myself, Have you ever got when you were so pushing a problem that you just completely blank and say FTS? Yeah, that was where I was right there for a second. I lost my will to live. Okay, now, how much did he take home at the end of the day? 920. How much money did he invest out of his own pocket? 920 divided by 2,000 is what? Well, spank me, Jesus. Same project, more OPM, less of my money. Look what happened to the return on equity. That's what I mean by gains to leverage. It's staggering, the gains to leverage are. That's why companies borrow. That's why you've ever heard of these creative financing deals, you can earn a fortune in real estate, buying houses. That's how you do it. That's the trick. The danger, of course, the danger is you're borrowing money, and if it doesn't come out to be $22,000 sale price, you're dog meat very quickly the more leverage you have in the deal. So that's why the risk is there. There's much greater risk doing this. And for bearing that greater risk, there is a higher expected return. Here, you leveraged 80% of this investment. You leveraged 80% of it. And your ROE jumped by 460%. Jumped by a factor of 4.6. That's what I mean by the gains to leverage. Notice what Amazon.com is doing. It's moving away from leverage. It's pulling back from debt. And look what happened to ROE when it did it. Now, is that a bad thing? No. This is a company that is trying to configure itself to be a less risky investment. But at the same time, the market has other ideas. When you're talking about a PDE ratio of 60-60, that's still high nosebleed territory. So there's sort of a mismatch right now between what Amazon sees for itself as a lower risk company, providing investors with a stable, if not awesome, ROE. But the investment community says, we still want to pay a lot of money for every dollar you earn that belongs to us. And so there's sort of a mismatch in the question as a thinking investor, which way is this going to play out? With the price adjusting downward so PDE goes down into what would reflect a safer company? Or is this company going to simply have to just generate more and more sales off its assets, make those assets work very, very hard, just purely based upon shareholder investment money instead of debt? One way or the other, it seems to be a little bit kind of out of kilter right now. A company that's moving towards less risk but less debt, but a company that investors still seem to think is worth throwing money like that, believing that a dollar earned today is going to generate $60 for the shareholders down the road, that's risky. So who knows? But that's what we do in financial analysis. You have seen pretty much a whole comprehensive scheme here in this class today. And then on Tuesday, we'll go on and we'll look at another thing you can do with ratios. And I'm going to touch on this only briefly. We can see the future. Maybe. Not very well, but we can sort of see the future of a company, possibly. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.